Welcome to GoToGal, episode number 148. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and today's topic is something that should basically be the theme of 2020, or like the antidote for, I don't know. Oh, we have been through so much this year, and resilience is just something I keep coming back to time and time again. So early on in the pandemic, I would see these memes like, if you're not, you know, if your whole house isn't organized, or if you haven't done those projects, or I forget, there were specific references I have not looked at in a long time. But it's like, basically, like, if you haven't done this, then it's not that you don't have the time. It's that you're just lazy or something along those lines, which, of course, first of all, I'm like, well, hello, like, some of us have kids that are home now all of the time and we don't have more time. So this post is completely out of line. But also, even for those people that did have, quote unquote, you know, all this time that were home by themselves, gosh, like, we're going through like massive trauma with everything going on. Sure, some of you were buying Pelotons and making sourdough starter and all of the things, but not everyone, not all of us. And even if the quote unquote time was available to you, a lot of times we just weren't in the right headspace or didn't have the energy, or we were just so consumed by anxiety, depression, not feeling well, like actually being sick, whatever it is, mental health, physical health, emotional health, all of the things. So I'm saying this today because whether it's a global pandemic, whether it's battling social injustice, whether it's whatever you want to call this election season was, whatever's going on in the world, or sometimes there's things that are just going on in your personal world. It's just your own personal struggle that no one else is going through. It's not that shared experience, but it's hitting you hard. How do you get through that? And getting through it is not pretending that it doesn't happen. It's not burying in our heads in the sand. It's not avoiding it. It's not shoving down all of those emotions and feelings. Gosh, I've been there. It's not. It's really building the resilience to work through it and to get yourself on the other side of it. So a couple weeks ago, we did a roundup episode about how to get out of your own way. And I feel like this is the next step to this. And not necessarily that they're sequential in how they happen, but okay, there are things that are going on in business and it's like, how do we get out of our own way with it? But this is like, there's things that are going on. You're going through this massive life experience that could be really impacting you and negatively impacting you. I mean, there's so many different reasons to bring this up, but how do you get through it? Where does that resilience come from? What does it look like? What are some strategies for building resilience? Sometimes it's just one little thing that can derail us, and sometimes it is literally the whole world. So today I have brought here to this episode, I've brought here to you several experts that in mindset, in spirituality, in mental health, in all of these different areas. But one thing they have in common is resilience, and whether resilience is something that has just been a key piece of their life and their journey and something they've been building over the years and they're going to share their experience with us, or whether it's something that they work with their clients on and they're going to share tips and strategies that they share with others with us today. This whole episode is dedicated to how can we work this resilience muscle? Because right now, yeah, we need it. But for always, we always need this. And I'm so excited to be able to share these experts with you today. Now, these aren't just any experts that are on today's show. These are podcasters, and these are not just any podcasters, but they are podcasters who have gone through the program Pays to Podcast that I have with Farnoosh Tarabi. These are our alumni who are out there and building their own platforms on this podcasting platform and sharing their passion, their knowledge, their expertise, all of the things with their own audiences too. So I'm really excited to share them with you today. They are part of a group. So back in June, was the last time we ran our Pays to Podcast 8-week accelerator. We had 89 students join us for the live 8-week accelerator. And of those 89 students, 50 of them launched their podcast in less than 8 weeks, like basically in 7 weeks. How amazing is that? I'm laughing, but I'm like, they're freaking incredible. Now, this was our goal, clearly, but honestly, Varnish and I didn't know how many of them would be able to stick to that timeline. I keep saying it, but one of these days I'm going to break down for you how we changed our course to make it more actionable, to get more people to be able to cross that threshold and launch their podcast in less than 8 weeks. So incredible that these podcasters are all live and podcasting, and whoever resonates with you, I encourage you to go listen to their podcast. Also, we are about to open the doors to Pays to Podcast again. So if you are listening to these podcasters and listening to my podcast and thinking, gosh, like I see myself having a podcast. This looks like a great way to connect with people, a great way to build my audience, a great way to build my authority, a great way to bring in more money for my business, whether it's by having sponsors or by leveraging it to sell your own programs or programs that you're an affiliate for. There are so many ways to monetize and really turn your podcast not just into a content platform, but truly a growth engine for your business. And that is what we teach in Pays to Podcast. So definitely, if you're catching this while it's live, come join us in the free challenge at challenge.paystopodcast.com. And if you catch it after it's live, if you go to that link, it will likely redirect to our Pays to Podcast sales page. And if you catch it after our cart closes, it will likely redirect to a wait list. So if this is on your radar, definitely go to challenge.paystopodcast.com and get all signed up. All right, without further ado, here are our experts talking about resilience.
Hey there, go-to gals. I'm Andrea Johnson. I'm a personal growth and leadership speaker and coach and host of the Intentional Optimists Unconventional Leaders podcast. This is a podcast for women just like you who are interested in stepping up and making a difference in your community, be that local, online, or even national. Each week, you'll be encouraged and empowered to lead at every level in any area using your unique gifts. As the name suggests, my personal philosophy includes being intentional in how I grow and show up. So each year, I pick a theme word to help focus my growth. The word for 2020 is transform. I just knew this year was going to be full of real change. Of course, I had no idea at the time what kind of transformation that I and all of you would be in for. So I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to mess up your year. But I chose transform because it's a verb that implies never actually being finished. And if we're honest, we're never finished growing, right? Now, 2 years ago, I chose the word courage because the year before, my mother lost her 15-year battle with breast cancer. Grief has a way of clarifying what's important, and I was faced with the fact that I just didn't love my career path or how I was showing up in my life, my family, my church or community, mostly because I was trying to be what everyone else said I should be rather than just being me. I knew it was time to stop settling for just making it through and embrace who I was created to be. This life is just too short to mess around, and that point has been driven home for all of us again and again in 2020. The willingness to change and be transformed takes just a little courage and tenacity. And what this looks like in the real world is what we tend to call resilience, the ability to bounce back from adversity and hardship. And it may not come naturally to you, but if not, be encouraged. You can grow and develop your resilience. How, you ask? Well, here are four things that I do to cultivate and build my own resilience. And guess what? They build on each other. So first, the idea of bouncing back implies a certain amount of flexibility, so I make a conscious effort to try new things. The reason for this is important. It teaches your brain to keep learning and expanding. Every new thing you either try or learn develops new neural pathways, kind of like cutting a new path through the woods or really tall grass. At first, it feels hard and there's a lot of resistance, but with each trip over that pathway, it gets easier and easier. That means the next time you come up on a challenge or obstacle, you have both the conditioning for paving a new path Or you may already have several more routes from which to choose, which gives you the ability to live undaunted. And when you aren't intimidated or discouraged by your circumstances, you live with the understanding that you actually can do hard, new, or really different things. This can be as simple as creating a shared EDM Pandora station with my son, where we both have thumbs down power, and trust me, I use it. Food is also a great area to practice this, and since I hate shopping for ingredients and looking for recipes, I subscribe to different box meal services and try at least one of the meals they randomly select for my family, which, guess what, this means I'm not the only one trying something new. Next, understanding and then acting in accordance or alignment with my personality, values, and principles means I have some solid ground to stand on when things get a little shaky. I'm a certified DISC behavior analysis consultant, and I use this information on a daily basis to communicate, prioritize, and determine my direction for me and my clients. When I take all three of these things into account, it gives me a much clearer lens through which to see my circumstances and the ability to remember what is true and solid, even when it seems like things aren't. So, take stock of your values and principles and how they work inside your personality structure. Maybe they've become a little more refined in the last few months. Either way, line them up because this is your bedrock upon which to stand. Now, when you try new things and honor your personality and values with consistency in the small, everyday stuff, you can make some big changes. Just 1% consistent improvement over time will get you there way faster than you imagine. Think about when you're driving on the highway and you adjust the steering wheel just a little bit to the right. It makes a big difference, doesn't it? This shows up for me as I learn to manage a brand new middle schooler in a 100% virtual learning environment. Seriously, consistency is the key here. And I've also seen results of incremental change in my health, in permanent weight loss, better sleeping habits, but most of all, in my personal growth. And lastly, I become more consistent by lasering in on my focus. When I know what I want to achieve and learn to hone in on it, consistently moving in that direction, always keeping the destination on the horizon, going back to that driving analogy, I'm much less likely to be derailed by potholes, speed bumps, or detours. If it's important to you, you already do this. We always focus on what's important to us. So what's your horizon point? If you don't know, you could actually use this as a diagnostic tool. Look at what you focus on and then work backwards to find out what you think is important. It could be quite a wake-up call. Resilience is a skill we can learn and develop, and it's an important one because we're role modeling for anyone watching. I mean, we're teaching our kids how to live and function in this crazy world. If you found this information helpful, then Intentional Optimists Unconventional Leaders is a podcast for you. Each episode, you'll get teaching from me on the principles of intentional optimism, how they relate to personal growth and leadership, or you'll hear from inspiring women who embody these principles and have stepped up to lead in ways that might look a little different than your current idea of leadership. That will help you see how you can be an unconventional leader too. Because here's the thing, you are the answer. You are the future of leadership and the role models for future generations. Again, I'm Andrea Johnson, and I'll see you on the Intentional Optimist Unconventional Leaders podcast.
Hi there, I'm Diane Mayer, a business strategist for lifestyle entrepreneurs and host of the Coffee and Converse podcast. The Coffee and Converse podcast is for you if you want to build a business that supports your life instead of you living to build your business. And today, I want to chat to you about building resilience into your business. I know that this is a topic that most of us would prefer not to think about because we have been trained to think about a crisis as a negative event. So before I dive in, I want to reframe that for you. A business crisis is actually a neutral event, neither good nor bad. So here's an example. Somebody could hack your website and take it down. I could send you a million leads in the next 5 minutes to your website, and I would probably take your website down. The actual crisis is that your website went down. The reason it went down might be good or bad, and you may have some feelings about that, but actually the crisis is that your website is down. That is not good or bad. It just is. It's a fact. So what makes it a good or bad outcome is actually your response to that event. So your website went down, did you curl up in a ball and rock backwards and forwards in the corner crying, or did you get on the phone with your web host and get it back up? What often happens is we are unprepared for the event, and so we don't respond fast enough or objectively enough, and the outcome for us is less than satisfactory, which then feeds our belief that a crisis is a bad thing, and it makes it scary, and we don't want to think about it. And then the next one comes, and the cycle repeats. So we stop that cycle today. As a business owner, you have really two big risks in your business. Number one is people, and number two is tech. So from a people perspective, you are probably the biggest risk to your business. If your business couldn't carry on without you, if you were unexpectedly unavailable, that's going to lead to a pretty bad outcome. Now, the reason you're unavailable could be that you're lying curled up on your bathroom floor with the worst stomach bug you've ever had, or it could be that you came home and your partner kidnapped you off on a magical tropical vacation. The result is the same. You are unavailable for your business. The reason could be good or bad. The event itself is you are unavailable. Now, if you're listening to this smugly smiling to yourself that, I'm pretty sure my integrator or my OBM could just step in and run the show, awesome. You are no longer your business's biggest risk. They are. And they're probably an even bigger risk than you because they could also resign. So the reasons that they could be unavailable are greater than the reasons that you could be unavailable. But it's the same risk. Somebody who is key to your business is not available. From a tech perspective, you have two components, the hardware and the software. So the hardware is your physical laptop, your microphone if you're a podcaster, your camera if you're a video person. Some physical piece of tech breaks on you and is crucial to your business. The risk in this case is pretty low because we will normally be able to borrow another laptop if we need to. We'll be able to, you know, use our laptop camera instead of our fancy camera if we really needed to. The risk in the tech space to us is much more in the software space. We all run our businesses on multiple different types of software. And if this goes down, very often things can grind to a real halt. If we think about the two risks being people and our software, what do we do? Well, from a people perspective, you really want to make sure that everything that anyone in your team does that is essential is documented. And you want to make sure that somebody else knows how to do it. So you've documented it and somebody else knows how to cover it. From a software perspective, think about how much time and money those companies are investing in making sure their software stays functional at all times and does what it says on the tin, right? That is their whole business. So you better bet that they have got huge crisis planning processes in place. If it does go down, their full effort goes into getting it up and running as quickly as possible. So anything that you could do in this space is really going to be quite negligible. The only time I suggest that people get really into, okay, what could I use as a backup from a software perspective, is if you have something time sensitive, like a launch or an event. That's when you need to start thinking about, okay, what software is essential and what would the backup to that be? The most important part of all of this is to start doing this planning now. First of all, because you don't know when the next crisis is going to hit. And secondly, because right now, you're probably pretty objective. You'll be able to think through a scenario without panic and emotion coming in to color your decisions. Remember, resilience in business comes from preparation. A crisis is neither a good nor a bad event. It simply is. What determines the good or bad outcome is how prepared you were and how you respond.
Hi, everybody. My name is Beth Hewitt, and I'm a business and career strategist for heart-centered individuals who are looking to pivot in their careers or start a business that's more in alignment with their true soul's calling. Now, the Visualize You podcast is for you if you are maybe feeling stuck in your career right now, maybe you're not sure where to go next, or maybe you want to start or grow your existing business. Each week on the Visualize You show, I bring you interviews with inspirational people who have taken that path already, including sharing my very own stories of having multiple career pivots over the years, so that you can learn the practical skills that are going to help you do the same. We also deliver training on everything to do with the law of attraction, creative visualization, and the wisdom of the universe, which is absolutely my favorite subject. And I bring guest experts onto the show to help you recognize your self-worth, honor your existing skills, and allow you to become more confident and ready to pivot in your career, as well as knowing how to package and promote yourself online and ultimately profit from your career and life experiences. Now, resilience for me is having that ability to navigate any storm by using your existing skills and tools that you have amassed over your life's journey and that make you you and are there inside of you, or as I like to visualize, inside your little boat of life. Now, as you've probably gleaned from the name of the show, Visualize You, I like to use visual representation and I like to visualize our beautiful selves sat in our boat on this big, expansive ocean, bobbing up and down to the waves and motion of the water and being able to maintain our balance, our equilibrium, as we navigate the storms that we sometimes find ourselves in. If you are going through a particularly difficult time right now, know that the universe never presents you with a challenge that you are not able to navigate and overcome. And really think about that for a second. Think of a time when you were going through great adversity, and yet here you are today listening to this podcast, and you're able to tell your story of how you made it through. You did that. You used your skills, you used your experiences, maybe you used your support networks, maybe you asked for help. However you did it, you made it through that storm and you continue to stay afloat, bobbing to the motion of the seas long after the storm has passed. Now, one of the things I always ask my guests on the show is, what is their superpower? And I ask this question because as human beings, we tend to be quite humble for the most part, and we find it hard to blow our own trumpets. We find it hard to shout about our skills or our successes, our uniqueness. And so my tip for you today is to take the time to really reflect and think about what your superpowers might be. Because when you can name those skills, you can use them almost like a life jacket when life gets really hard and you need some self-love and compassion to keep yourself afloat. So to start, you can make a list of your talents, your qualities, values, your accomplishments, have them written down and always have them to look back on and act as a reminder when things are getting rough for you. Here are some questions that you could ask yourself. Number one, what are your greatest talents and skills? Now, this isn't meant to be like a CV or a resume. In fact, try to start by detaching your responses from the work environment, because sometimes we find it hard to pivot or change direction because we are so closely identifying with our work and our careers that we find it hard to see ourselves doing something completely different. So try and think about your talents and skills from a more holistic viewpoint if you can. Question number two, what are your five greatest strengths? Maybe you're hardworking, honest, determined, productive, creative. Question three, what are the values that you hold nearest to your heart? Now, this is an important question because it will act as an anchor when you are going through a difficult time. Maybe you might have a difficult decision to make and perhaps you could be swayed to do something rash because of the pressure you find yourself under. So remembering what your values are will allow you to stay strong and resilient in any situation and will allow you to make sound choices based on your soul's calling. Question four, what three things would you say are your greatest accomplishments in life? It's really important to celebrate your successes long after they have happened. They are part of your story, they are part of who you are, and they will, as well as lifting you up, will also inspire others. And finally, question five, list 10 things that you are. Now, this one might require you to go deep and do some introspection, but this one is really about getting clarity on your uniqueness and your amazing character and traits. You can also ask your friends and family to tell you what they would consider you to be the go-to gal or guy for, to coin Jacqueline's terms. And you might be surprised by all the wonderful things that come up for you. I really hope these questions will allow you to get some clarity on how amazing you are and that you can use them to stay resilient when times get hard. Maybe even pick one main superpower and imagine this positive name or label, if you wish, on the side of your boat, or even better, on the side of your ship. Now, remember that you can weather any storm, and I really hope you'll drift on over to the Visualize You podcast for more tips, universe wisdom, and inspirational stories from my guest. And I absolutely promise a lot less of the boat analogies. Have a beautiful day, and remember to visualize you.
Hey, Go-To Gal crew. I'm Adam Roberts, host of Arts in America. Our podcast tackles two essential questions facing the arts and the world at large at this pivotal moment in history. How do the arts prosper during a pandemic that will change, maybe forever, how we create and bring that creativity to others? And how do we, as creatives, stand firmly behind Black Lives Matter and give artists of color their long overdue voice? We talk to musicians, actors, academics, activists, 3D animators, and many others to tell stories of how they're surviving and, in some cases, thriving during this crazy time. And the one thing that seems to unify their experiences is an astounding resilience, and in some cases, optimism in the face of everything that's going on. Whether it's theater professor Danny Snyder-Young encouraging her students to get scrappy and find opportunities in a new digital frontier, or musician KJ Nazrul braving the smoke of California wildfires and creating a space for healers to get healed, or filmmaker Sabrina Aviles documenting the heartbreaking and inspiring story of COVID-19's effect on an essential city, Chelsea, Massachusetts. These artists and hundreds like them all over the world are using this moment of crisis as fuel to reach for something that's waiting for all of us on the other side, real and profound change, a world that we may not recognize and may not be ready for, but that is waiting for us nonetheless. So, what lessons in resilience can we take away from these artists? Remember your core strength. One thing this pandemic has done to many of us is force us to strip away many of the things that used to distract and disconnect us. Meetings, long commutes, business trips. So use this unique moment to go back to what inspired you to go down this path in the first place. You may find clarity on how to proceed or realize that it's not even the right path at all. Don't wait for help. Step up and help others. Even in your darkest hour, you have gifts that can prop someone up who's feeling lower than you. Tell your story. Many of us have a complicated relationship with social media, but in times like these, it can both be healing and empowering to reconnect with old friends and maybe even make some new ones. None of this is easy, and the path through these crises is still pretty long and dark before us, but you can shine your light in the darkness, make it a little less gloomy, and maybe even show someone else the way out. Join us at Arts in America for stories of people who shine their light every day to make the world a little brighter for the rest of us.
Hi there. I'm KJ Nazrul. I'm a musician, educator, and psychotherapist. I help healers and essential frontline workers recover their resilient stories via music, art, compassionate conversations, for them to be able to continue and uplift and heal their communities. I'm also the hostess of the Stories of Astonishing Light podcast. The Stories of Astonishing Light podcast is for you if you want to move from feeling overwhelmed, anxious, disconnected, and even perhaps creatively stalled, to instead feeling resilient, fluid, curious, innovative, and re-engaged with your relationships and your community. One major goal of the Stories of Astonishing Light podcast is to uncover and reacquaint people with their innate strength and resiliency. Resiliency, to me, is defined as the ability to be fluid and flexible, to recover and regenerate after experiencing hardships, stressors, or traumas. In my studies about resilience over the years, I've been able to observe and identify common elements that indicate the presence of high resiliency in a person. Let's see if you can identify some of these elements within yourself. Element one, an ability to go back to basics. Maslow's hierarchy of needs outlines that in order to survive, our fundamental needs include air, shelter and warmth, food, sleep, water. for shelter and warmth? Do we have a place to stay or rest for an extended period of time? Are we able to easily access these necessities? Are we able to have a full night's uninterrupted rest? A second set of skills is the ability to set up your squad, your circle, your community. And this includes your higher guide, your spiritual practice. Identify at least two people or groups you can rely on for encouragement, inspiration, and kindness. Also, a strong indicator of resilience is your willingness and openness to receiving and accepting support. A third element and skill set, your ability to do a self-assessment. Here's the thing. You already know what to do. You've told this story before. Chances are you've experienced some challenges in life, losses, disappointments, perhaps some tragedy. And those are your stories. Your story shows the progress you've made from one side of any darkness or grief or hardship to the other side of it. Know that you've already shown the strength and courage to move through this. Know that you've the muscle memory and the blueprint to take those same steps of navigation. A fourth element found in resilient people is an ability to recognize that these accomplishments and strengths are yours. Maybe you'll need to have a little help in seeing it from your friends and family. And if so, that's okay. It can be rather fun even to ask your loved ones to help you identify some of the accomplishments and skills. I assure you, you are the go-to person for something. All the skills, knowledge, and creative thinking you cultivated and utilized to be here today are accomplishments and strengths. This is the outline of your resiliency journey. Honor and celebrate it.
My name is Heather Murphy, and I am a family history coach for women who want to improve their mental health. And I do this by helping them to mindfully research their ancestors. I am also the host of Stories in Our Roots podcast. In this podcast, you can hear a variety of experiences of why people decided to research their family history and the benefits they've gained from knowing those stories. My tip today for you to become more resilient is to learn the stories of your ancestors. Resiliency is all about learning how to better handle the adversities and stressors in life. By knowing the stories of your ancestors, you can see how they overcame their challenges, and that can help you when you face yours. There are several ways it does this. First of all, it can give you perspective. When you think about your ancestor who left everything they knew and traveled across an ocean to a new place, or when you learn of the injustices that they faced because they were a certain minority group, or losing a young child, not once, but maybe four or five times. There are so many opportunities within our family history to have perspective that when we look at our own challenges, we can see them a little more clearly. Another way knowing these stories helps build our resilience is by being able to gain strength from what we learn. On my podcast, I ask my guests to share with me stories from their ancestors that have inspired them and impacted their lives. Not one of my guests have told me stories about ancestors who had some perfect life. They all share stories about ancestors who overcame some certain type of adversity, and that gave them strength. I'd like to share a few examples from the guests that I've had on my podcast. First of all, there was Miyamoto. She suffered from anxiety, body dysmorphia, and other struggles, and she decided to start learning about her ancestors. She learned about an ancestor that left Hawaii and came to the mainland, but right before she came, her husband died. So she made this journey all by herself, and she endured all sorts of difficulties and struggles even after she got to where she was going. And as Mia reflected on that story and then on other stories about other ancestors, she realized, in her words, that she was born of resilience and strength and power, that it was in her. It flowed through her blood. knowing that gives her the strength to face the difficulties that she has in life and to have a better perspective of those challenges. A different type of challenge was faced by my guest, Catherine. This summer, she finally moved to her dream home in the country. She was looking forward to the green fields, the pond in her backyard, wildlife, and the serenity that would come with living there. Except she wasn't expecting to learn, after they purchased the house, that there was no internet connectivity there, and even cell phone signal was spotty. She told me how knowing the stories of her ancestors helped her have perspective at that time. She could just imagine her second great-grandmother telling her to just get with it, that this was nothing, that she could overcome it. Because Catherine made it a point to learn about her immigrant ancestors that came to the United States in the 1850s. And she didn't just stop at learning when they came to the United States. She tried all she could to learn about why they left, what the journey was like on the boat, what kind of reception they would have had in the United States, which wasn't very good for those German ancestors. And as she thinks about all that they sacrificed so that their children and grandchildren could have a better life, she decided that not having internet was a minor inconvenience and that she wasn't going to let it pull her down. I have heard many stories like these over the years of people who have gained strength from knowing the stories of the people whose blood runs through their veins. So today, I would like to give you this tip about how you can build your resilience, how you can better adapt to those adversities that you face in your life. First of all, this process should be done mindfully. Many of you probably think of researching family history as just some hobby that you hop on the internet and click around and find what you are looking for, but it can really be much more than that. Take some time by yourself to think about what you really want to know about your family. Who is that person that you would really like to know more about? And then set off to find that information. Talk to your family members. Does anybody know something about that person? Say it's a great-grandparent. Ask your parents. Ask their siblings. Ask anybody on that side of the family because you never know what information will be passed down from one generation to the next. Maybe there are pictures or stories that are passed to cousins that never made it down to your part of the family. Each time you spend time researching your family, take time to think about what you've learned. I know this is really counterintuitive to many people, but it really will deepen your connection. And the added benefit is part of being able to handle stress better is giving your mind time to not be crazily jumping from one thought to another. As you slow down and you think deeply about these people, that is what builds your resilience. That is where you can see the connections between yourselves and your ancestors. That is where you'll be able to apply what you see in their lives to your own lives and gain that strength and power that you need to be able to face your challenges with a strength that you may not have had before. Thanks for listening today, and I hope to see you over at Stories in Our Roots, where you can receive more inspiration of how you can become more resilient by learning the stories of your ancestors.
Hey, I am Joanne Crown, a parenting coach and family educator, and I work with moms who want to step back and have their family take on more. I'm also the host of the No Guilt Mom podcast. Now, the No Guilt Mom podcast is for you if you feel overwhelmed by all the roles you have to play in your life and you'd like your family to contribute more, your kids to be more self-sufficient, and you want to find your own thing apart from being a mom. So the tip I want to share with you is if you struggle with a fear of failure and you have a hard time getting back up again when knocked down, this is something that has helped my resilience. So I've run No Guilt Mom for the past 7 years, and I was reading this book and it quoted Ed Catmull, who is the founder, one of the founders of Pixar. And he says that his motto was fail fast. And that stuck with me, the idea of failing fast. Because when I get all overwhelmed and so fearful about everything that could happen in my business and all of the like ways that people could be mad at me or the ways that like products may launch and completely fail, I always think, okay, I need to take some action. Because just sitting here and doing nothing, it is not helping me progress my business in any way. So I think I'm going to fail fast. I'm going to take the next possible course of action. And if it fails, it's going to give me some really great feedback that I can then take and do a second attempt on it. So ways I've used this. My website was not getting very many viewers. I didn't even have a focus of what I was writing about. And so a coach told me that I needed to write 3 new posts a week. That scared me so much. When she told me that, I honestly wanted to go and get the like nearest margarita and just like, just kind of numb my fear about it. But then I just said, okay, I'm going to fail fast. If this doesn't work, it's going to give me a lot of information. And so I did it. I did 3 posts a week. I would write in the morning, I would get all my graphics together, and then I would post in the afternoon. What this did was within 2 to 3 months, my business, the page views, they skyrocketed. And I found that by writing 3 times a week and having that mindset to fail fast, I was able to find my focus of helping parents in a very positive way, and I was able to attract more people to my business. It was a game changer. Fail fast works so, so well. Another way it worked in my business is that at the beginning of this year of 2020, which, oh my gosh, horrible, horrible year, but I was not bringing in much revenue. And I knew that Facebook ads were the way to bring in the revenue. And so I'd always failed at Facebook ads before, but I was the type of failure where I'm like, oh my gosh, I fail. These are just not for me. And I let them go. So I approached it with this new kind of mantra, fail fast. And I tried all the things. Like one of my first Facebook ad attempts, it didn't work. It like bombed, miserably bombed. So then I tried something else. I tried this new product about like siblings and giving them missions and making an adventure pack, like created it all from scratch. And I'm like, okay, well, if this doesn't work, I tried it and I can move on to my next idea. Fail fast. I did it. It worked and it was a game changer for my business. And I would not have taken that action if I had not thought in my mind, I'm just going to fail fast and then I will move on to the next thing. So if you're struggling with resilience and with mindset, I want you to remember, fail fast. Everything you do is going to give you information for your next step.
Welcome to The Resiliency Factor, the podcast that explores real, raw, vulnerable, and unscripted conversations with resilient entrepreneurs around the world. I'm your host, Lisa Marie Pepe, and I'm on a mission to empower you to go from victim to victorious in life and business. As the confidence coach and online visibility expert for passionate and purpose-driven entrepreneurs, I'm here to show you that when you make the conscious decision that you are no longer willing to allow the scars of your past or the pain of your present define you, anything and everything is possible. And while pain in this life is inevitable, suffering is optional. I guarantee that you are more resilient than you know. And when life hits you hard and knocks you to your knees, come back swinging even harder. Because you and only you have the ability to change your life. Let me say that again. You and only you have the ability to change your life. The Resiliency Factor is for passionate and purpose-driven entrepreneurs, coaches, thought leaders, healers, authors, speakers, and experts who are looking for more out of life and business. If you are ready to get out of your own way, say goodbye to self-sabotage, negative thought patterns, and self-limiting beliefs, you've come to the right place. Our mission here at the Resiliency Factor is to share motivational and inspirational stories of overcoming adversity, resiliency in motion, finding your voice, reclaiming your personal power, mastering online entrepreneurship, growing and scaling your online business, and monetizing your message, all while creating a massive and positive impact in the world. We seek to inspire others to become the best possible version of themselves while remaining passionate, purpose-driven, and true to their core beliefs. Tune in to the Resiliency Factor each week to hear from the greatest, most influential minds on the planet. It's showtime. Are you ready? Let's go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Valerie Zarek, host of the Future Proof Career Podcast. I help modern professionals find peace of mind when it comes to the future of their career. Listen, we know times are tough, and my goal is to help listeners like you take control of your future so that next time there are layoff rumors circulating at your job, you can calmly go back to your desk and do fabulous work because you will be unfazed. How many people are so worried about their job stability and livelihood that it actually impacts the quality of their work? Maybe you're making decisions based upon this sense of fear that is involved with your future. It's tough. Your job is tied to so much in life, your livelihood, your sense of success. Maybe you support other people financially. Maybe you want to provide an inheritance for your children. And the uncertainty of your career can be extremely difficult to handle. So I'll be sharing 5 steps on how you can be resilient when it comes to your career journey. I do love an acronym, so my 5 steps to getting future-proof is STAMP, S-T-A-M-P, as in put a stamp on your career. In my program, the S stands for savings. Financial security is so important if you want to feel peace of mind in your career. If you have no savings in your bank account, you are truly at the mercy of your employer to provide for you. There are so many financial experts that have theories on how much you should have in your emergency fund. One thing I've noticed is that it tends to take longer for people to find jobs than they think it will. A popular rule of thumb is that it takes 1 month per $10,000 of salary to find a job. For example, if you're looking for a $40,000 salary, it would take you about 4 months to find one that's a good fit. If you're a higher earner at $100,000, it could take you 10 months. So keep that in mind when it comes to building your emergency fund. If you're a higher earner, that's great, but you may also have higher expenses and rely on that income. So you may not be able to afford being unemployed for how long it could take you to replace your income. The other thing I encourage is having some form of side hustle or passive income stream that can help provide a cushion in case something were to happen in your steady job. Next, the T stands for transferable skills. These are skills that are going to help you no matter what career you're in. Skills that I talk about often on my show are time management, communication, networking, and leadership. These are skills that are important no matter what position you're in. If you're a professional, your job is going to change somehow throughout your career. Honestly, there may come a time where you're in a position that gets eliminated, or maybe it will just become obsolete. If you have some of these transferable skills, you will be resilient in the time of losing your job, and you'll know you have the skills to fall back on no matter what position you're in. The A stands for amaze your employer. This piece can often get overlooked when you're worried about the future of your career. I've seen instances where people are so worried about the latest layoff rumors that they actually get distracted to do their actual job and their work suffers. Don't forget to keep doing the best you can at your current position. Hit deadlines, bring new ideas, stay curious and innovative. Next, the M stands for mindset, and this is such a massive topic. You're going to have to dig deep into why you're so worried about your livelihood and the future of your career. What beliefs do you have about money and jobs? We were all raised so differently. Maybe your family struggled to make ends meet when you were growing up, and now you're struggling with a limiting belief that money's really hard to make and there's not enough of it. Maybe it's the opposite, and your family was well off financially, but they never donated to charity, and that's something that's important to you. And you need to get to a place where you feel comfortable with that. We have a lot of ingrained beliefs when it comes to work and how it fits into our lives. Dave Ramsey's Ramsey Solutions conducted a study of over 10,000 millionaires and found that 97% of millionaires believed they could become millionaires. It sounds so simple, but how powerful is that? If you adopted that mindset that you can do it, you can make money, you're good at your job. If you really believed that deep down, you would feel so confident in your abilities and understand you are worthy of making money, and you're gonna be okay. And finally, the P stands for Plan B. The last thing to do, and what's really gonna give you that extra boost in future-proofing your career, is having a Plan B. What will you do if something happened to your main income stream? Maybe your Plan B is a side hustle that you have and you could grow it into a full-time gig. Or maybe you would just pivot to another area within your company that always has job openings. Maybe you could live off passive income from something like rental properties for a while. Have some clue of what you could do to make ends meet. Knowing that you have a Plan B will give back the control you should have when it comes to your career. So there you go. There are 5 steps to becoming future-proof in your career and being resilient when it comes to uncertainty around it. There's a lot more to unpack in all these categories, so be sure to check out Future Proof Career to hear more. Thank you so much, Jacqueline, for having me. This was lots of fun, and keep doing the good work you do on GoToGal.
Hello, I'm Kay Del Rosario. I'm a copywriter and email marketing strategist for busy entrepreneurs. You can learn more about that over at loveletteremails.com. I'm also the host of the New Marketing Podcast. The New Marketing Podcast is for you if you're a busy entrepreneur or business owner who wants to learn how to connect with your customers better so you can sell more and grow your business faster and create marketing that's more personal and human. First, I just want to say thank you to Jacqueline for inviting me to share what I'm going to share with the GoToGal podcast community. Thank you for having me, and thank you so much for listening. I'm super excited to talk to you about something that's so important for anyone who's running a business or is part of a team and is responsible for getting the business done. Whatever your title is, because you're responsible for a whole lot of things, you got to be tough, mentally and emotionally. So what I'm going to talk about is being resilient and being able to bounce back from whatever gets thrown at you while you run your business. As a business owner myself, I've experienced setbacks, I've made a whole bunch of mistakes that have cost me time and money, and I've experienced rejection. All of this is expected when you run your own business. I knew this going in when I started on this adventure years ago, but it stung when I hit my first roadblock of running out of money when I was just getting started. Running out of money is scary and super stressful. I remember being scared and feeling like I was stuck. The bills due were coming up quickly and money coming in was drying up. When it really hit me that I was going to end up in the red really fast, I had this huge knot in my stomach. The anxiety was turned up to 11 and I couldn't think straight. Every idea or solution I could think of to get out of this corner I was backed into felt totally hopeless. There's a happy ending to this story though. And it's that I managed to take control of the situation relatively quickly. And I did that with a few steps that, while seem simple, were what I did to develop the level of resiliency I have today to tackle any problems that come up in my business. So here are 3 things you can do when you hit a roadblock or experience a setback. Whenever I hit a roadblock or obstacle, I do these 3 things to get myself back on track and back to running my business and back to my life. The first thing is, and this is so important and something you cannot skip, and that's stopping and breathing. You hit the pause button and take the time to process and then control feelings like panic or grief. This is so important, and I know it's going to be hard. Depending on what you're experiencing, you're going to feel some resistance to just stopping and breathing. but hitting the brakes on all the action or chaos that's swirling around the setback or obstacle is the best thing you can do at that point. You need to process whatever you're feeling, whether it's confusion, or panic, or grief, or anxiety. You need to identify what you're feeling, recognize that it's only a reaction to what you're facing, and that you still have control over the situation. You do this, stopping and breathing so that you can make space in your head for the next step. Once you've controlled how you're feeling and you've made space in your head to take productive action, the next step is assessing your options. For me, assessing my options is me finding out where I actually am, not where I thought I was when I was feeling all panicked and scared, and then finding a path to where you want to be. For me, when I ran out of money, I found ways to extend the time I had to pay some bills. I reached out to my network and asked if anyone needed help with anything and got some working quickly that way. Eventually, I got to positive cash flow and I prevented the situation from getting worse and out of control. Now, the last step I do, and this is something that's helped me to stay strong and get stronger, is learning and keeping what you've learned close. You keep what you've learned from past setbacks close so that you can pull it out when you need to and remember that you've got valuable experience with dealing with tough things and that you can do it again. Running a business is hard work, and as rewarding as running your own business is, the hard stuff doesn't end. And that's why it's important to keep what you've learned from past setbacks so that you can deal with whatever today or tomorrow's going to bring. So I hope these tips help you out in your business the way that they've helped me out in tough situations and building up my own resiliency. Thanks for listening.
Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.